question. What exactly is the connection between quantum physics and spirituality? I have heard several times that quantum physics makes science more reconcilable to spirituality. Can you explain how this actually happens? Answer. Many people who claim to be scientific equate science with scientific materialism. They think that materialism is the only school of thought that is reconcilable with science. Materialism is the idea that matter is the only reality. And even if minds or conscious beings have some reality, they are ultimately products of the mind and so don't have any independent reality apart from the reality that is there at the material level. So if materialism is true, then both soul and God, because both of them are spiritual, become untrue and non-existent. And in this way, science tends to be linked by many people as leading to atheism. So people equate science with materialism, and materialism implies that there is no God and soul, which is atheistic idea. So science through scientific materialism leads to atheism for many people. Now quantum physics shows how seriously limited and flawed is the equalization of science with scientific materialism. Quantum physics almost unavoidably requires the existence of a conscious observer who is non-material. So quantum physics, as a defining element within its very definition of what it is, includes a non-material mind, a non-material conscious observer. I'm using the word mind here in terms of how modern scientists use the word mind. Basically, that is the reservoir of thought, consciousness, and knowledge. So modern science doesn't understand mind in the same way that the Vedic science understands as a subtle material analogy, but whatever, that there is some consciousness which is separate from matter is necessitated almost by quantum physics. How is this necessitated? Quantum physics uses equations which predict probabilities, not definite values but probabilities. Before quantum physics, there was what is now called as classical physics. So classical physics was what was pioneered from the time of Galileo and Newton onwards and developed subsequently. So in classical physics, we have Newton's laws of gravity and other laws of motion which describe the behavior of matter at the anthropic level, at the level that we human beings observe. But these laws were found to be inapplicable at the quantum level. And at the quantum level, matter doesn't behave like particles. So therefore, a whole branch of physics called quantum physics came up. And how does matter not behave like particles? So there are several experiments to illustrate this. There is what is the famous two slits experiment, that if we send a single photon of light through two slits in a wall which are next to each other and which are followed by a screed, then that single photon seems to pass through both the slits, because the pattern on the screen shows an interference coming from shows an interference pattern that has resulted from light coming from both the slits. So if only one photon has been sent, either it should go through the first or the second hole, but it goes through the both holes apparently. So this indicates that the photon is not just a particle of light, but it is behaving like a wave. So Schrödinger came up with a 9-letter long equation, which is now known as the Schrödinger's equation, and which is the most important equation as of now in quantum physics. And it correctly predicts the chances of finding a photon at any given point. So now, is a photon essentially is a particle of light? That was its original conceiving idea. But is a photon a particle, like we have particles of, say, grains? Of course, at a much more microscopic level, the photon is. But is it a particle like that, or is it just a wave? So quantum physics observations indicate that it is like a wave, because it is passing through both the slits. At the same time, when it was discharged, at that time it was discharged as a particle. So it started as a particle, then it seems to have become a wave. And then again when it is observed, at that time it becomes a particle. So Schrödinger's equation, it envisages a kind of wave like a ripple that is created in a pond when a pebble is dropped into it. So like that, the filament which gives out the photon, it seems to have a rippling wave that moves outwards from it. Now, as long as this wave is not being observed, it behaves like a wave. But as soon as the wave function is observed, then it collapses. It collapses and becomes a photon, a particle. So now, when the photon is not being observed, at that time, where is it cannot be definitely known. Only its probability can be predicted. So therefore, the probability is something between 0 to 100. But when we talk about probability, you know, we can only talk about probability when it is about something definite. For example, there is a student, say, Raj. Now, I can say that he has a 70% probability of passing an exam. So now, this 70% probability can be talked about only when this probability resolves itself eventually. So actually, if he gives the exam and results come out, at that time, the probability of his passing either becomes 100% if he has passed the exam, or it becomes 0% if he has not passed the exam. So, now, in quantum physics, the location of a photon, where exactly it is, because when it is not being observed, it is behaving like a wave, so we cannot know, predict its specific location. So there is a probability of where it might be, and that probability is talked about by Schrödinger's wave function. Now, when an observer observes it, at that time, that particle, that particular photon becomes localized over there. Okay, the photon is over here. So the wave, so that which is distributed as a wave, collapses into a particle. That is called the collapse of the Schrödinger wave function. So at this point, the photon is either there or it is not there. So if it is there, then the probability is 1. If it is not there, the probability is 0. So this is how logically things work in daily life also. When we talk about probability, the probability eventually resolves itself. Just like if there is a cricket match. Now we can say that, okay, this country, we can say this is the probability of winning. In this country, this is the probability. But eventually when the match takes place, then the probability becomes 1 or 0. So if there is an India-Pakistan match, at the end of the match, either India has won and the probability of India's winning has become 100%, or India has lost and the probability has become 0%. Similarly, when a photon is observed, the probability that it is at a particular location, it either becomes 100% or 0%. But Schrodinger's wave function equation doesn't talk about the probability ever becoming 0 or 100%. The probability only varies within that range smoothly, but never jumps to either of the extremes. Now, a characteristic of quantum physics is that in classical physics, probabilities are there because we don't know adequately. Because of incomplete knowledge, we can talk in terms of probabilities. That is the understanding in classical physics. So, for example, if there are 100 billiards balls which are put close to each other, very close to each other, and if I throw one ball in the middle of them, then all the 100 balls will move. Now, how these balls will move, there are so many parameters involved that we cannot for certain say that, okay, if I hit all those balls together, one ball will go into a hole over here. But we can talk in terms of probabilities. So now all the balls are going to follow the laws of mechanics. But because there are 100 balls and there are the way they are mutually positioned and the force and the position where the throwing ball hits them, and after that their mutual domino effect sort of motion, how it occurs will all vary. So we cannot necessarily predict accurately, but we can talk in terms of probabilities. So this is a crude example, but the point is, in classical physics as well as in common sense, we think of probabilities in terms of the incompleteness of our knowledge. Because there are so many parameters involved and we can't be sure about all the parameters, their values and their interrelationship, so we say that the probability of the result. So it is because of an inadequacy of our knowledge. But in quantum physics, the probabilities are not due to inadequacy of knowledge, but they are intrinsic to the nature of quantum reality itself. Why? Because what is being measured is so small that the very act of measurement creates an effect on it. So the very act of measurement changes what is being measured. For example, when we measure our body temperature with a thermometer, and when we put a thermometer under the arm or in the mouth, at that time the thermometer's temperature rises according to our body temperature. Now, because the body is much bigger and because the body's temperature is much higher, the thermometer's temperature rises. At the same time, the thermometer, if were at a lower temperature, then the contact of the thermometer with the body would also have lowered the body temperature slightly. But because the body is so big and what is being measured is so large, then the decrease in the body temperature due to the contact with the thermometer does not affect the body much. But imagine if there is a small particle of water at a particular temperature, then I put a thermometer in it to measure it. Now, to measure its temperature. And if the thermometer were at a different temperature, not only would the thermometer indicate the temperature of the water, but it would also affect the temperature of the water. So, at a microscopic level, how do we detect the position of, say, an electron? We have to send some sort of electromagnetic waves. So now, when we send the electromagnetic waves collide with the electron. So if they collide with the electron, then we understand, okay, the electron is over there. But if it doesn't collide with the electron, we understand it is not there. So when there's a collision of the electron, we can know its position. But the very act of colliding with the electron of the electromagnetic wave alters the velocity of the electron. So the act of measurement changes what is being measured. And that's why we have Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which says that we cannot measure both the position and the velocity of an electron, because the moment I measure the position, the act of measuring the position changes its velocity. So therefore, as soon as I know the position, I don't know the velocity. So basically the point is, probability is an intrinsic feature of quantum physics. Now at the same time, quantum physics also ultimately leads to resolution of probabilities in terms of observation. So now, where does the observation take place? So now, there is a famous Schrödinger's cat paradox. So suppose a cat is suspended in a room in which there is a bottle of cyanide, and the whole setup is arranged in such a way that there is a detector which looks at an isolated electron and determines whether it is spin up or spin down. The electrons can have either characteristic of spin up or spin down, and it is seemingly at random. So the whole experiment is set up in such a way that if it is spin up, then the bottle is opened, the cat gets the cyanide and the cat dies. If the electron is spin down, the cat remains alive. Now 10 minutes later, when we open the box, we find the cat is either alive or dead. Now the question is, before we opened the box to find out what is the state of the cat, before we opened it, during those 10 minutes, what was the state of the cat? Now logic would say that it is either alive or dead. So, but from the quantum physics point of view, because the very act of measurement affects the object which is measured, that means when we open the door and look at the cat, it is at that act moment the cat lives or cat dies. So this seems to be very counterintuitive, but that is how quantum physics is. That's why Niels Bohr said that anyone who is not shocked by quantum theory has not understood it. Okay, now the question comes up, what has all this got to do with spirituality? So, all this that we have talked about essentially indicates that in quantum physics, the act of observation by an observer plays a crucial role. So the electron exists as a wave function till someone observes it, and when it is observed, then the electron, the photon, whatever it is that we are trying to observe in a particular experiment, that I'm skipping over the technicalities over here to make things simple, then we will find that at that moment it becomes localized at a particular place, it becomes situated at a particular place. So the observer becomes crucially important in the quantum physics. And in quantum physics, the observer plays the critical role of causing the collapse of the wave function. It is when the observation happens, then the electron becomes located at a particular place. So because of this whole complex situation, in quantum physics, there has to be a non-material conscious being. So quantum physics, because it requires a conscious observer who is non-material, undermines the idea of materialism in a very severe way and brings in a critical role for consciousness within the universe. So now this is the standard Copenhagen interpretation of quantum physics, which was given by Niels Bohr, who is one of the pioneers of quantum physics. And apart from that, to try to avoid the implication that there are conscious minds, so actually speaking, the wave function doesn't change. The wave function, according to science, is correct, because as far as a tool, mathematical tool for manipulating matter and getting experimental results is concerned, the equation works excellently. But as far as a conceptual tool to understand what it is referring to, it leaves scientists bewildered. So the implication is that if the equation is not changing, if the equation is correct, but the equation doesn't predict the probability they're becoming 0 or 100, then where does the change of probability occur? So that change of probability occurs within the knowledge or consciousness of the observer. So we know in our observed world that actually the probability changes to 0 or 100 when a particular event occurs. So the electron is, the photon is either there or not there when we observe it. So, but the probability, the function, the Schrodinger equation doesn't predict such a thing. That means the wave function is collapsing and a certain result is being determined. Now, where is it determined? In the consciousness of the observer. So, the consciousness of the observer and the observer play a critical, indispensable role in quantum physics. So, now to avoid this explanation, certain other interpretations have come up. For example, there's a many worlds interpretation, which says that actually if the probability of finding a photon is 70%, then it never becomes 1 or 0. It just stays 70%. And it, how does it stay 70%? Because there are thousands of multiple worlds. And among all these worlds, in one of the worlds, we are there and we say observe the particle. And if the probability originally was 70% as per the wave function, then among all the hundreds of worlds or millions of worlds, there are 70% of those where the observer observes the, where the probability turns out to be a certainty, and 30% where it turns out to be a falsity. And in this way, in the totality of all the parallel many worlds, the universe, the probability remains 70%. Now for this, the universe has to be splitting, branching out at every moment, and not just at every moment, at every Planck time. It is 10 raised to minus 43 seconds almost, into billions of parallel universes. So we are only one universe, and we can't even theoretically, we can't, certainly not experimentally, we can never verify the existence of another universes. So the various interpretations of quantum theory which try to avoid the role of a conscious observer end up with extremely untenable ideas, like say this one is many worlds interpretation, the universe is splitting into billions of parallel universes at every Planck time, or another interpretation is that particles move backward as well as forward in time, and with the idea that they appear in all possible places at once. So how does it appear that the photon is traveling through both the slits? The idea is that okay, the photon may encounters some wave, and that wave pushes it back in time, and then it encounters some other collision, and it pushes forward in time, now in a different position. The same photon occurs in two different positions. So the idea of backward travel in time is entirely counterintuitive, because if I travel back in time, say person X travels back in time to the time when his grandfather was there, X, Y, Z. So Z was say the grandfather, or A, B, C. So C was the person and A is his grandfather, B is his father. So he goes to the time when A is unmarried and he kills A at that time. Then there will be no birth of B, and if there's no birth of B, then there will be no birth of C. So backward travel in time seems entirely illogical and even impossible. But the idea that particles can travel backwards in time is what is implied by one particular interpretation of quantum physics, which tries to do away with the role of the conscious observer. Another idea is that the universe is interconnected with faster than light transfers of information. And it is not just that there are one or two pilot waves like these are called pilot waves, but there are as many pilot waves as are required, and they are all connecting the universe in a extremely super fast way. So these are all a huge baggage for science, and therefore rather than postulating faster than light waves pervading the universe, which create a lot of problem because they are not yet observed, and they create a lot of other challenges, because to explain one observation we are postulating something which is much much bigger. Similarly, to postulate millions or billions of parallel universes or to postulate the idea that particles travel backwards in time. These are much more untenable explanations. And in science, according to a principle called Occam's razor, Occam's razor is the idea that when we have to explain a problem, the simplest solution should be taken first. The simplest solution is, in this case, to postulate there is an observer. And the observer's act of observation causes the collapse of the quantum function. So that is why there are several eminent physicists who have clearly and unambiguously pointed out that quantum physics, as we know it, is not reconcilable with materialism. So there is Eugene Wigner, a Nobel laureate, who said that materialism, at least with regard to the human mind, is not logically consistent with present quantum physics. Then Sir Rudolf Peierls, another great 20th century physicist, said that the premise that you can describe in terms of physics the whole function of a human being, including his knowledge and his consciousness, is untenable. There is still something missing. So in this way, quantum physics brings in a substantial, even indispensable role for a conscious observer. And that conscious observer, if we look at it from the Vedic tradition, is the soul, the Atma. And this conscious observer exists to a large extent, at least significantly independent of matter, although he may interact with matter. So if there is one conscious observer who is independent, who is at least partially independent of matter, there might be another conscious observer who is entirely independent of matter, and that is God. So quantum physics doesn't directly prove the existence of God, but it certainly opens the door for the existence of God, and it does give a very strong strong indicator, if not demonstrator, for the existence of the soul. So in this way, quantum physics undercuts very strongly materialism, which is the main intellectual opponent of spirituality today. And it shows that materialism is not as scientific as it is made out to be, and allows spirituality a substantial role in terms of consciousness within the realm of physics. So this is how quantum physics and spirituality are connected. Thank you.